Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is Inform Fredericksburg this morning. Matt Kelly and Rick Poland talk city stuff and the things that Inform Fredericksburg keeping an eye on. Good morning. Good to have both of you back in studio this morning.
Good morning.
I think a lot of people listen to this show just to hear some of the things that you two talk about. Before we get into some of these issues, a little bit about Inform Fredericksburg. For people who don't know, there's a Facebook page that has all kinds of really in-depth look at things. And talk a little bit about Inform Fredericksburg.
Well, that's pretty much Rick and I and some other people got together and basically started talking about the fact that a lot of news in the city is not really being covered, one. And two, there's always been this kind of lack of some detail. And, of course, Rick and I always have arguments about how detailed articles should be. I didn't show my last one on Mary's Landing because I did go quite long.
Way in the weeds.
It was very long. It was.
But, you know, you need some of that detail.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things we agreed to, because we all are, let us say, diverse opinion. I think Rick would agree to that. We're more interested in getting information out and government transparency and informing the public so that when these issues come forward, people can come up with their own ideas and what they think should happen and be able to comment on it with having the information available to do that.
And I think the most important part is, just to follow up with what Matt said, is we don't take a stand on any of these issues. The only thing we take a stand on is government transparency. And we point out all the time how our government is doing things in secret, how they're not sharing information, that kind of thing. So we try to dig out the information and share it with people. And then you take the information and you make up your own mind where you stand on something.
Well, and like you say, it's an interesting time because media has changed in this community.
Well, it's changed, and now there's more of a business model attached to it. So the newer news organizations are looking at, you know, where is the opportunities, and the opportunities, frankly, are in the counties. There's more population, more people, more opportunities there. So the city's getting
for news. You're talking
for news,
about, yeah.
But and Rick would remember this. You know, a lot of people in Stafford, Spotsylvania, when we first got here, were always complaining about, oh, and all they talk about is the city. All they talk about is the city. Now all we do is talk about, one, schools, and two, the counties, and not as much about the city. So we're hoping to fill in a little bit.
We're strictly the city of Fredericksburg. We don't branch out into any of the counties.
And like you say, the group is made up of, as far as political ideologies, it's all over the place.
Yeah. Which is the reason we don't take a stand on anything.
Yeah.
I mean, we want to be fair to our readers, and so we just, except for, open government, that's all we stand for.
Yeah, there are issues that we have covered that we do not necessarily agree on. So, it's just get the information out there and let the people make their own informed decision.
Or ask, or get the information, and then in turn be able to ask their elected officials.
Right.
We have talked about, we'll start off with Mary's Landing, because we have talked about that a number of times. It remains, I don't know that I've ever seen, Rick, you've covered local government around here for a long time. I don't ever remember of any locality dealing with a situation like this where there never was a public hearing. You know, there just weren't things that you usually see in any kind of a development.
Yeah, well, this is basically a sham is what it is. For whatever reason, city council decided they did not want to have their fingers dirtied by Mary's Landing, so they turned it over to the staff and said, you handle it. And basically what happened with Mary's Landing is it's a rezoning or a resubdivision, I guess I should say, and of the property, which requires public hearings. Well, they did everything possible they could not to have a public hearing on this. They don't want public input. You know, the citizens had to hire an attorney, to try to get information. But we knew all along that basically the city staff was going to approve the project. What they did, though, by doing that, is they set themselves up for a whole lot of headaches in the future, because they relied on an 1891 map of the city of Fredericksburg.
See, I'm the details guy.
And the lot sizes and the lots and everything. you know, instead of current zoning, zoning came in the 1970s
for us.
70s, basically, or late 60s, early 70s. And, you know, so basically what is going on here is that they just ignore zoning laws and instead rely on some historic map to allow this to happen. Well, now anybody who wants to develop land in the city can go back and look at, you know, historic maps of the city and say, well, this was allowed, so I want it, and I don't care what your zoning is. And they can get away with it. All they have to do is cite the precedent that's at city staff, you know, and city council by, you know, just staying out of it, how, what they've said.
Well, the issue here really is that there are still a lot of those lots that have never been cleaned up, and those are the ones that are the dangers. And like there's additional lots in this area that are under the same circumstances.
We should tell them where this is. For people who don't know, this is a huge parking lot near where the old Mary Washington Hospital is.
Yeah. The biggest thing for me about this that really resonates is when this area was rezoned and we created the Makers District, there was a lot of outcry in this particular neighborhood about density and the fear of what density may be. And at the time, the staff came and said, hey, we're gonna make sure we listen to you and address your concerns. So they reduced the density from 12 to 8. They said, so this way, you're going to have a public hearing. It's going to be a special use permit process and everything. We're protecting you guys.
When you say reduce from 12 to 8, what do you mean?
Reduce 12 units per acre to 8 units per acre. Okay. Just made it less dense by right. And then just threw that out the window and just said, screw it. Because basically what's happened here is Mary's Landing does not meet any city goals. It is not affordable. It is not fit in with the neighborhood. It is not mixed use. None of that. It's a standard, townhouse development where they put maximum amount of townhouses on there.
And it'll bring in a lot of school-age children and cost the city money. This is not going to be a tax-positive development.
The other issue here that's to me is number two. So we basically misled the public. We're using 1891 lot lines. Well, wait a minute.
If you say we, you mean city council.
City council. The city council used 1891 lot lines there, and it's just, okay, where are you going with this in the future? It's basically the city staff is almost, hey, we're going to do anything we can to approve something, and we're going to make any changes that we need to be made. I mean, we were going to allow to use a hospital building, which is a big square box, call it historical, not on the site. Oh, we're going to give you a green space credit so you can keep the density on the property. Well, that didn't work, and they didn't mention they were going to tear down two other more historic properties on the process. It's just, and it continued to go down here. But more importantly to me is we can, and I guess at this point, agree and disagree, of the use of the 1891 lot lines, there are legal cases that would say, no, you shouldn't have used it. Your zoning should trump those lines.
Yeah.
Okay, you may agree with me, you may not agree with me. But that's a policy decision to make. In this case, staff should have gone to the council and says, we've got an issue here. How would you like us to proceed? And let council make the decision whether it stays with the council and goes through the normal process or goes to the staff. The staff unilaterally, and no squawking from the council whatsoever, said, hey, we're going to take care of this. It's ours. That should not have been their decision to make. That should have been
Do you really believe it was unilaterally? I mean, I'm sure there were conversations off to the side which council said, we don't want to dirty our hands with this.
Well, this is
I cannot prove that. That's just my opinion.
We disagree a little bit. I don't think that the council, they just looked at this and said, okay. Because I've seen it happen numerous occasions where staff comes in and says, we're going to do this. And everybody goes, okay. And we move on.
Well, and like you say, Rick, the precedent is what's concerning.
Yes, because think about it for a minute. You know, we've got a couple of data centers want to come into town. They're talking about rezoning, which city council will rezone the land for them. But, you know, say they were in a dispute and they want to put a data center somewhere where nobody wants it, even city council. And they look at it and, well, there used to be this old industry of some sort on there back in the 1800s. So we're going to use that precedent and we're going to put it here.
Yeah.
You know, and all they got to say and look and do is, well, you did it for Mary's Landing, you know, and what can council say? I mean, they'll get sued, of course, and they'll probably lose in court, and the city council will. So you know, you have to be careful when you make decisions like this. And like you said, I've been covering city council since 1980, and I've never seen anything like this happen in the city.
Not in any of the localities either.
Well, it's a situation where it's been determined at some point somewhere, and we might have a discussion on who's driving the train here. But for all intents and purposes, we have no zoning, because this is a classic case of the staff going out of their way, finding every little nook and cranny to avoid following our own rules and zoning regulations to get a project through. And if it can happen for Mary's Landing, it can happen on any project in the city where they just decide, you know what, we're going to make this happen, and we're going to find a way to make it happen. And they're done. They granted an exception for this project.
What's it going to look
which
like?
Which was, the reason for the exception was, oh, well, this makes the project more uniform. And they go in, and we as we posted, the developer has posted the new deed with the lot lines on it, and acknowledges in the document we have eliminated all the original lot lines and created all new lot lines. That's which a is, major subdivision.
That's a subdivision change.
Yeah. Which should have been gone. Yeah, they've done it, and they've stated it clearly in their own documents. Yet we're going, well, the number of lots hasn't changed, so therefore they should be able to build what they want to. I mean, you had a project, a site plan that was done in January. The property was purchased in January. Not a, you know, usually it's a general development plan. Here's our concept.
Yeah.
No, they went right to a site plan right after, at the same time they bought the property, which brings a lot of questions forward.
Well, let's not get too far into the weeds with all that. Let's talk about the cost of this thing. So obviously the townhouses are going to be, what, $650,000. So it doesn't meet any sort of affordable housing goal at all. And city council says they want affordable housing, but of course they've done absolutely nothing about affordable housing. But it also, there's things like storm sewer in that area. You know, the pipes in that area are not big enough for this to handle this. And, you know, the taxpayers are going to end up picking up the tab for that, not the developer, you know. And also, the thing that let's talk about taxes. Now, these are $650,000 townhouses, so about between $3,000 and $4,000 to pay in real estate taxes. Now, how many of these are going to bring in children? Well, they're townhouses with three bedrooms, I think, correct?
At least,
so,
yeah.
So that three bedrooms means there's going to be at least one kid on average per, and maybe two. So, and what's the cost of schools for a child in the city of Fredericksburg? It's over $12,000 a child. Now, you're paying $3,000 or $4,000 in taxes. When your one kid costs city taxpayers $12,000 or more, you figure out where this is going. It's going to be a financial drain on the city.
Yeah.
And yet the city, you know, they're desperate for all any type of income they can get, and they're doing this type of stuff. I mean, Fredericksburg financially is in dire straits. You know, we're building a school we don't need and we can't fill, and we won't fill for 5 or 6 years minimum. And we have a wastewater treatment plant that's going to cost more than any projection, even with, you know, subsidies from the state and, you know, everything else they've done for it. So, you know, we're looking at, I mean, look at your taxes in the last couple of 3 years. They've made major jumps, and they're going to continue to make major jumps. And we're a city with 51% or 56%, I forget what it is, of the people that are so-called Alice people who can't afford this. And they're going to basically drive them out of the city. So a city council that says it wants affordable housing, you know, is creating a financial situation in the city in which people who need affordable housing, people who, you know, are not financially well off, can't afford to live here.
When will this start? Is construction and work going to start? Will we start seeing it soon?
We don't have any details on that yet. Again, another thing that is a classic in the city is people get things rezoned and then they turn around and sell the property, because now that it's got the zoning it wants on it, they can ask for an S-load more money than they bought it for, and they just take it as
well,
land.
Well, this
deal
is a little different,
but the Webs will build it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this hasn't been rezoned, so they have to build what they've had approved. So, I mean, whether they build it or somebody else builds it, you know, but, yeah, it's not a... If it were a rezoning, Matt's right, then you could do anything you wanted.
Well, no, the number of units on there is now set.
Yeah, but it's...
It's not a rezoning, but they have allowed it.
You have
to
build what the plan calls for. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, to be continued.
Yeah.
But like you say, the precedent should be what...
That should scare a lot of people in the city.
More coming up with Rick Pullen and Matt Kelly this morning in Forum Fredericksburg. We'll start talking data centers when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Matt Kelly and Rick Pullen in this morning. Inform Fredericksburg is our topic, or that Inform Fredericksburg is the group, and we're talking about various issues right now going on in the city, and none bigger than data centers, and that continues to be
literally
with every locality. Yeah, with every locality. But talk about some of your concerns and what you've been watching and looking at with what's going on with Fredericksburg.
Well, I mean, City Council is correct in one way, in that if they don't get on this bandwagon, then they'll lose out. I mean, they are very, very profitable. You know, I mean, they're talking one data center bringing about $50 million a year, and we've got a $128 million budget. So, you know, that's more than a third of our budget.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in that way, I understand why they want to do this. So I don't have a beef with that. And I don't, you know, I mean, we don't take a stand one way or the other, should we or shouldn't we have them. What our beef is that they won't let the public, they won't inform the public about what's going on. And a lot of the public is going to be affected by this. A lot of neighborhoods, you know, and who don't even know these giant buildings are going to be built next door to them. So I think you really have to pay attention to that. The other thing, you know, back again about, you know, let's get on the bandwagon. The data centers, you know, Virginia has more than anybody, anywhere in the world. And they're costing us a lot of money. And people don't think about that because the locality, you know, in local taxes brings in millions. But what they don't, people don't understand is you as an individual homeowner, as a renter, are paying higher electric bills for this because data centers do not pay their way in electric bills. The state just came out with a study a month ago on data centers, and they said that in five years, your electric bill will jump on average $276 a year just to pay for data center electricity. The reason for that is they buy their electricity in bulk. They pay a lot lower rate than you and I do for homeowners or renters. So in that way, it's something that it's basically a tax, you know, only it's not paid to the locality, you know, but homeowners and you know, the consumer is paying for data centers already. That said, I still go back to what's, you know, members of City Council said, it's going to bring in big bucks for the city, and it will. So for the city government, it's a good thing, not necessarily for city residents. And although we hope that our city government will lower our taxes, you know, in lieu of bringing in all this money. The other thing is, this is not going to happen for a long time. I mean, if City Council approves everything they're going to approve in the next month or so, we're still looking at 6 or 7 years down the road before anything is built. And so that's something that, you know, there's this rush right now to pass all this by, what is it, February 25th?
February 25th, they're planning on voting on it.
And there's no reason for that. For, you know, the city manager says, well, it's the property owner. Well, the property owner, you know, for one of the data center sites is Silver Companies. Silver Companies has never given the city any deadline on when they have to do this. And I don't know if the city council's been misled or just the citizens of Fredericksburg have been misled on this. But let's be clear, Silver Companies is not putting any sort of deadlines on them. And they've said so. So it's, you know, that, you know, there's no reason to push this through so fast, except one reason, and that is you don't want the public to be fully informed before you take the vote.
That's part of the City Council went on 2x2s back in February of this year, so as to avoid public scrutiny on those trips.
The law states if three or more members of council get together, they have to notify the public.
In the meantime, you have the city manager contacting a property owner saying, we want you to give up your project to build data centers. So that's all going on. No comments to the public whatsoever at the entire time. And now all of a sudden it's a rush. And the question has to be, well, you guys have been dealing with this for over a year. Why haven't we been talking about this for a year as a community? Because again, I agree with Rick. If you look at it, in fact, if you talk to a lot of people, data centers are coming. It's how they are going to come. What kind of deal are we negotiating? Who's going to pay for what? And when you're standing out there publicly basically saying, we will do anything we can do to get a data center, that's really not a good negotiating position to start with. And there are legitimate concerns here. You know, with Celebrate, it's on the river. We have a 2005 Memorandum of Understanding that has conditions, especially with height restrictions, which has never even been mentioned by the council or the staff, but those are part of the deed on the property, which will have to be met unless they decide to change them. There's the issue of how close it is to the river, stormwater management, mm-hmm. runoff. Are we going to look at major power lines coming across the river? Where's the stations going? What's it going to do? These are legitimate questions. And one of the biggest one is when we were looking at the Veterans Administration building as a city, we were ready to spend millions of dollars to build a road to make that happen. So if we can't get a deal with a data center to cover all our environmental concerns that are out there, primarily environmental, then is the city willing to step up and make some investment into this to make it happen? And what are they willing to do to meet the public demands? Because a lot of groups have submitted, you know, their thoughts on data centers and what they would be willing to do. If we were to build them, we would like to see these things happen. That's out there now. I know FOR has put theirs online and stuff like that.
I was going to ask, is Friends of the Rappahannock involved?
Friends of the Rappahannock has been involved for months, but they became involved not due to any action by the city. The city has done no outreach to the environmental community. It's the environmental community that's coming either directly to the, quote, data center developer, or has asked the city, hey, what are you guys doing here? So right up, that's another very good point.
Yeah, but
they're not getting involved in this.
Let's give Councilman Will McIntosh some credit. Later this month, he's going to hold a town hall on data centers, and it will be the first time that anyone has been willing to answer questions about data centers. Now, they brag about how they're going to have public hearings, and they're going to have a couple of public hearings coming up. But what is a public hearing if you don't have the information to make an informed comment on? And you can't ask questions at a public hearing. You know, you just state your position on something.
Yeah.
So, the public deserves better than what it's getting from council. It deserves some answers. You know, look, council's going to approve it no matter what. And they've made that pretty clear. But the public at least can have some input. And maybe council will say, okay, well, in light of we're going to approve this, we might do A, B, and C. And I think they need to be careful about that and do that. I mean, for the data center that's going out on the Silver property, there's the Seasons apartment complex right next to it. There's a bunch of homes on River Road right next to it. And if you know anything about data centers, they make a lot of noise. And these people are going to be bombarded with noise 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And, you know, it's going to be this low buzzing thing. Think of a lawnmower going about a block from your home 24 hours a day. So it's not super loud, but it's there, and it's buzzing, and it's irritating. And that's what they're going to hear the rest of their lives. So, you know, somebody needs to say, okay, council, what can you do to soften the sound? What can you do to buffer that? I don't have an answer for that. But council should be demanding stuff like this. It's not like in the counties where you can put this out in the middle of nowhere, you know, far from any homes. We're putting them right up against people's subdivisions. I mean, they're now, and a lot of people don't know this, but they now have what they call the Gateway Project, which is another spot in the city, which is along 95 between Route 3 and Cowan Boulevard. And there's 84 acres there that they want to put three data centers on, 2.1 million square feet. And that's right next to the Great Oaks subdivision. It's across the street from the reserve at Smith Run. These people are going to hear all this noise, too. They don't know about it. I mean, if anybody listening has friends in those areas, pick up the phone and tell these people. City Council's not going to. City Council hasn't informed anybody.
It's the first time I've heard it. We need to take a quick break and come back. I want to talk more about this. We're talking to data centers with Inform Fredericksburg. Matt Kelly, Rick Poland here. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 831.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Inform Fredericksburg with Rick Pullen and Matt Kelly in this morning. We're talking about data centers. Let me ask you this, because we and you kind of talked about this, Rick, about how There is a time factor, because I know in talking, Charlie Payne has been in, and we've talked data centers, and he has talked about how the city and the landowner, there's a, to keep up with things, there is a time factor, and I'm just wondering if wanting to get, at least keep the process moving, as far as just reaching, being able to say to these different companies that you're working with, we've got the zoning, we've got this, we can continue.
Can I jump in that real quick just to provide a little bit of detail on what's going on in the city, and then I'll let Rick go with it. The normal process of what council is doing would roughly take 4 or 5 months, you know, to the planning, recommendation from the council to the planning commission has a public hearing, and then a vote, then it goes to the city council has public hearings,
yeah,
and then takes a vote. So you're looking at 4 to 5 months, you know. Right now, we're looking at basically a month and a half, or almost just a month, really, and compressing
when,
all
when
this.
When you throw the holidays in.
Yeah. When you throw the holidays in, you know, we're compressing it, and all the council's done is says, oh, we'll give you 2 more public hearings. And again, no information on which to base it. So the normal process should be 4 or 5 months. That should not be a deal killer. I mean, most right. businesses, they just want to know, tell me when I can expect an approval. I can tell you, with silver companies, would they like to see this change happen sooner rather than later? Sure they would. But more importantly, they want to know, what is the schedule? Tell us how much time we have. And by the way, meet it. Don't drag it out. So we're not talking about, you know, a large amount of time to be able even to do it through a normal process. So that should be fine.
And it's, you know, the only thing that I can come up with, and this is an opinion, is city council wants to rush this through so there's very little opposition to it. Well, first of all, we know they're going to approve it. But why not listen to the public? Maybe they've got some good ideas for the future with, you know, how to deal with this. It's not like anybody's talking about stopping it. It's talking about making sure that it's properly regulated or whatever. The
sure.
noise, I've pointed out, the noise is going to be a real issue, that kind of thing. And the reason for that is, this is 2025, and for the Gateway project, they're looking at 2032 before it's really up and running and making money for the city. So that, and they're projecting $51.5 million in tax revenue. Now that's pie in the sky, but you know, it's somewhere probably close. But what do we do for the next 7 years?
Right.
You know, we're building a school that we can't afford. We have to repair a waste treatment plant that we can't afford. Our taxes have gone up for the last 3 or 4 years, very, very, in double digits. You know, and that's just going to continue because we have nothing to pay our taxes and a city council that doesn't want to curb its spending. And then when these do come in, city council, instead of curbing spending and, you know, getting taxes in some sort of place where people can afford to live here, they have a laundry list of what they want to do. Now, going back to Will McIntosh, he ran a piece in The Advance yesterday, and he has this laundry list. As soon as this money is available, that he wants to spend it on. He wants to invest more in city schools. Right now, we can't afford to invest more in city schools. When we open this school, there'll be no money left for even, you know, basic educational materials and all that. I mean, we're going to have to stretch that budget like you wouldn't believe, because we've got to pay, you know, I don't know what it is, $6 million a year or $3 million a year, you know, in basically a mortgage in the bonds for the school. He also wants to have city bike trails and a pedestrian network. Well, that costs money. You know something? The city has never spent a penny on bike trails. It's always used federal grant money. So I don't see that coming anytime soon unless the city changes its mind. Although it is talking about, you know, making two-way streets and throwing in bike trails on the streets, which that's just repainting and, you know, causing more crashes, but that's what it would do. It's also talking about affordable housing. How does it do affordable housing when it wants to spend all this money, you know? I mean, it's got to cut back somewhere if it wants to help with affordable housing. It talks about, Will talks about, you know, paying our police and our EMS and our firefighters more, you know? Well, that'd be great, and they should, and our teachers too. Where's the money? You know, we can't even afford right now, well, we I guess we could afford it, but no one wants to work for the city. Our police department is down like 8 or 12 positions. You know, we're a small force, you know, 50, 60, 100 people. I've forgotten the number. But it's just like that's a big chunk of our city police force that we can't find people who will work for us for the amount we pay. You know, and it just goes on and on. He talks about how we want to take care of our historic properties. This city council has shown no evidence whatsoever about caring about history in the city.
None whatsoever.
They
want to
plow
that.
It over if you really look at what they do and say. You know, and then he talks about the environmental concerns. Well, data centers aren't exactly environmental friendly.
Well, can I jump in? You know, one, I've got to jump in on the preservation front. I'm sorry. Quick sidebar. In May of last year, HFFI put a list of proposals to the city council. I think it was four or five proposals and saying, hey, these are your goals. Can we come back this coming May and see that they've been done? I mean, simple things that we've been talking about doing for years.
Right.
And absolutely zero. Nothing has happened. No discussions, no initiatives, no ordinance, nothing coming out of the city. So preservation is definitely not on their radar screen. Another thing to Rick's point, when you look at other localities, which is something we should have a conversation about, they're not putting wish lists like this together. They're going, hey, we don't know how this revenue is going to continue. We're not going to make any major commitments to operational costs. We're Hanover County. We will only spend it on one-time funds or one-time projects, capital projects.
Just to see how it goes.
See how it goes until we get a better idea. I think Spotsylvania County said the same thing.
The same thing.
We need to take a little bit more time planning to use this money. We're the one jurisdiction that's out here, you know, with ready to break the piggy bank and running
expenses.
Off. Now, on the cost issue, this is an interesting one, and I want to jump into the state real quick because this is going to have an impact too, is you look at Loudoun County, which is the location for data centers, and that's lots of money for data centers. We have been in contact with their economic development person who's been responsible for this. And in this conversation, it's been basically, well, you know, if I had it all over again, I would make some changes. And now we're trying to get him to tell us what changes he wanted to make. But he realizes what they did, they missed on some things. And we can learn from that.
And that's where the public can help. If they have the information, they can make suggestions.
Yeah.
City Council doesn't want any information from anybody. You know, they're going to ram this thing through, and that's the way that it works.
But,
and the thing is, when it comes to the money side, he's right. There's a couple of things going on. So, you know, I said basically in 2032, well, you know, that's when this thing will peak at $51.5 million in tax revenue. By 5 years later, it's going to drop to $45 million. Now, why? Same facility there. It's depreciation. You know, on all these computers. All a data center is a giant warehouse filled with computers. So they replace the computers over time, you know, maybe 10% a year. I don't know what they do. But, you know, so you have depreciation during all that time. And, you know, so as the material depreciates, the tax bill goes down on personal property tax and business tax.
It'll be a roller coaster ride. As it goes down, as it replaced, goes up,
so
goes down, goes up.
You have to plan for that.
Yeah.
You cannot say, okay, we're going to use all this money every year for schools because some years you're not going to have it. And, you know, and Matt's right. We need to basically what you do with one-time money, and a part of this will be one-time money because it's bouncing up and down, is you use it for capital projects that are one-time expenditures. That's the proper way to
which is what a lot of jurisdictions are doing. And also everybody's looking at this right now as the taxes are going to go down significantly. Well, the issue is Loudoun County in their last budget, and I was looking at this online, they did reduce real estate taxes, I think by 1 cent in Loudoun County.
The rate.
But the overall cost on average to residents in Loudoun County was an increase in their tax bill of $200. So there's a lot of discussion that needs to be here on the financial aspect, which gets jump over to the state. Right now, you had the JLARC study released on state review of data centers. And yesterday, you had a group of members of the House of Delegates talking about, hey, the time has come. We really need to take a closer look at these data centers. We've got to look at transparency. We got to look at protecting ratepayers on the electrical side of the house. You know, we have to look at incentives, because here's the thing about incentives that's amazing, is that the data center industry makes a large amount of money with what they have. they don't need local incentives to build these projects. Local incentives are there because we, as localities, are basically bidding against each other to get them, which the race to the bottom. And at some point, we've got to come back and look at that. And we've got to come back and look at what the infrastructure costs are to localities and how, frankly, the data center industry can step up and help pay for some of those instead of standing back and just saying, hey, you're getting enough money from us. We don't want to put any more money out. So
let's talk about infrastructure for Fredericksburg. Two things, the electricity and the water. So for the electricity, for the Gateway project, which is the one that's going to be on off of Cowan Boulevard between Cowan and Route 3, they have to run electric power from the substation on Powhatan Street to a new substation, which will be right on Cowan Boulevard next to I-95. That's where it's proposed to do plans. And so how do you get it there? Well, if you know these big lines, they're 100 feet tall, and all that. Do they run it straight down Cowan Boulevard? You're going to have all this monstrosity there.
I hope
not. Well, the alternative, and you look at their plans, is to go all the way around Hugh Mercer School behind the police department, behind those apartment buildings there, and put it there. So you're going to have these high-powered lines all around an elementary school. And if you know anything about high-powered lines, they don't let you build anything underneath them because of all the dangers of that. So that's one thing. The other thing is, now, and this is good, that they're going to demand it. They're going to demand that they use recycled water from the wastewater treatment plant. Okay, but when will that begin? So, basically they're talking, well, it'll be several years. We'll just take water from the water treatment plant. We're talking 1 million gallons a day per data center. So it could be more than that, but you're talking a couple of million gallons a day, which the city can't give them. We don't have enough water to do that. But let's talk about recycling. You know where the wastewater treatment plant is?
Yeah.
It's way on the corner of the city on the Rappahannock River. I think it's the northeast corner. I'm not sure. And where is the silver company? The plant going to be on the silver land? That's way over
Caddy Corner. Other side of town.
All the way across the city, maybe 5 miles away. You can't get any further away from the wastewater treatment plant. And you're going to have to run that line underneath I-95, which is going to require federal permits and everything else. We're talking tens of millions of dollars to put that line in. Who's going to pay for that? And, they say, well, we'll get the data center to pay for it. You think a data center is willing to pay that? I don't think so. Caroline County tried to do that, and the citizens got upset and sued and all that because, they wanted to take a 20-mile line over for a data center. And here's another question. So what do you do with the water after it's used up by the data center? It's all warmed up because it was used for an air conditioning center. That's why that's why they use so much water. So do you just put two lines parallel, one from the wastewater treatment plant going all the way there and then going all the way back to the Rappahannock River? Or do you have to take that water and put it again back into the wastewater treatment plant? If you do that, you're adding millions of gallons of water that needs to be treated every day. Which is it? I don't know. I'm not an engineer, but it's a good question that needs to be asked. Now, will City Council answer that? Has anybody asked that question? I don't know. But I know City Council hasn't answered it. Again, this is why you need public meetings to explain this stuff to the public.
Right now, I can tell you that there's probably, and we know that city staff listens when we're on the program, going, no, that's not correct. No, that's not correct. No, that's not correct. That's fine. Then let's have the conversation and get the information. You can't get it done in 1 month. It's going to take a little bit more time than that to have this conversation before they pull the trigger.
That's what I was
saying. And that's all we're asking.
I was just going to say that these are all questions that you're asking and that any locality should have somebody or we'll look into it or let's have a public hearing. And so that's the basis and why this is so valuable to have this discussion.
And again, the decision does not have to be made in a month. They've got some. Even if I would be happy if they at least went through the normal process that we have to do this. The biggest concern I have with this is the fact that it seems whatever it takes to get it seems to be the mantra. And that, again, is not a good situation when going into discussions on what we expect. To your point, and Ted made it off air, you look at the counties, They set up data center areas that are way out in the county. They're not affecting anything. Anything you put in the city is going to impact neighborhoods. Anything you put in the city is going to impact the river and the environment. So it's a unique situation, that, and there are issues that are, we're dealing with that the counties are not having to deal with. And that's one of the key factors with us that we need to spend the time to do.
And there's another factor here for the property on this, on the Silver Company's property, and that is, how tall is this data center going to be? Will you see it from the river? Now, they're talking about the one, the data center next to the Great Oaks subdivision is going to be 90 feet tall. That's nine stories tall. I don't think, is the Big Ugly? That's not even nine stories.
That's about nine.
Is it?
Nine to ten, yeah.
So
yeah,
it'll be about as tall as the Big Ugly, and right across the street from, you know, a subdivision. And but the one that'll be on the Silver property, if it's 90 feet tall, we don't know if you can see it from the river or not. And there are proffers that say you cannot see anything from the river. The city signed into that. The Silver Company signed into that. What's going to happen? You know, is that, you know, I mean, so we need an answer. Now, have they done any studies? You know, I mean, they do what they call balloon studies, which they raise a balloon up 90 feet, you know, and then you go driving all around and looking. So they would go down to the river and look, can they see the balloon, that kind of thing. And because that's something that the developer of the data center over on the Silver property would have to know.
There was a balloon study done, which was incorporated into the 2005 Memorandum of Understanding. So we did, as informed Fredericksburg FOIA city staff, and said, hey, give us a copy of the report. They had to search for something. And then finally, there was a presentation done to the council, obviously, where it's a slide showing something, but it's not the report. So here we are talking about a major goal of the city is nothing from Built and Celebrated Virginia should be seen from the river, and we can't find the actual document.
I remember when Funland was wanting to put something up, and that whole thing of not being able to see it from the river was a huge discussion.
And Funland is, what, three stories, four stories at max? Yeah, it's not that tall.
Yeah. We take a quick break and wrap this up this morning. Matt Kelly, Rick Poland here in Forum Fredericksburg. We'll conclude when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
These are the voices and the success stories of Renew Health and Wellness.
I've been feeling just really run down. No energy. I couldn't sleep.
I was afraid I was going to lose my husband because I just had no desire for sex, and it was very painful.
Weight kept creeping up no matter what I did. I found Renew Health and Wellness.
I've been there about 3 months. I can tell you that my sex life has dramatically changed. It's the best sex I've had in my life.
I am 8 pounds down. My energy is coming back. I'm finally sleeping better at night.
It's just been the best decision that I've made, and I'm on a mission to tell as many people as I can. You won't regret going to Renew.
Renew Health and Wellness specializes in bioidentical hormone replacement therapy for men and women, as well as weight loss, anti-aging, and aesthetic services. Call 540-684-3900 today for a free consultation. That's 540-684-3900. Or take the test at renewmetoday.com.
What does a personal injury look like? Does it look like breaking glass and ambulance sirens? Or does it look like a man struggling to get up the stairs every night? Or a woman who can't work and may lose her home? If you've been injured at no fault of your own, life can suddenly look like something you never expected. At Allen & Allen, we're here to change that. Bringing you justice for personal injuries. Allen & Allen. Protecting the injured since 1910.
Guess what? The Fredericksburg Gun Show has moved to the Fredericksburg Fairgrounds. That's right, and it's this weekend, Saturday, January 18th from 9 to 5 and Sunday the 19th from 10 to 4. Showcasing firearms, knives, ammo, and tactical gear. Speak with the experts and take the concealed carry class. Tickets are available online at sgkshows.com or at the door. Background checks performed at the show. All federal and local laws apply. No loaded firearms are allowed. The Fredericksburg Gun Show, this weekend at the Fredericksburg Fairgrounds.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Matt Kelly, Rick Poland here this morning as we talk Inform Fredericksburg. Anything else we need to touch on real quick?
Just real quick on the wastewater treatment plant. City Council had a work session. It's been kind of droned out because of the data center discussion. The price tag got up to $200 million. Originally, we were hoping to spend only $80 million. Again, the city's done a good job getting additional funding, but it's still a significant cost to the city. And the questions that were asked by the council were relatively minimal, but some of the questions that need to be asked, which Inform Fredericksburg has asked, is we're at up to $200 million on $1.5 million. Spotsy is building theirs for $94 million and almost twice the capacity. What's the difference there? How long is this going to last? Is the infrastructure in place to deal with data centers going forward?
Yeah.
Which is obviously a big question to do right now. And they value engineered it down from $200 million to $169 million, but nobody said what they gave up to make that budget. So none of these questions were asked during the council session. So we've asked those questions, and hopefully we'll get the answers here shortly and post accordingly.
And one thing I'd like to add is the city spent $200,000 on a study, which they're paying Virginia Power to do, about data centers for the city. And basically that study is due this summer. So why are they rushing to rezone and do all this
right
before they get their own study back? And just to point out one other thing, the EDA was given the money to pass on. And one member of the EDA made the motion and voted for the $200,000 study. And his employer is one of the companies that is being looked at for the data centers. So there's a bit of a conflict of interest there, and no one says anything about it.
I guess, the bottom line, if we've discussed this morning, ask questions.
Yep.
Ask questions.
But it's hard to get answers.
Yeah.
And go to Inform Fredericksburg and take a look at what's going on in the city.
On Facebook.
Check out Inform Fredericksburg on Facebook. Matt Kelly, Rick Poland, thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. Inform Fredericksburg. Check it out on Facebook. Thanks for listening.
Thanks
See
for
you in the
listening
morning.
To Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.